want to lift Beth up as well, Lord, and just pray that the sermon that she has going to put forth to us today pierces our hearts, Lord, and just gives us that sense of renewal in mm-hmm. our spirit. Mm-hmm. And we ask for that blessing upon Beth this morning. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I think it's time to give you your blessing, Joy. I just saw it sitting there, and I think you are such a strength for this congregation. You're always upbeat and optimistic, and you share the love of Jesus.
Thank you.
And we appreciate that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Now, will I open them all today, or will I do just one a day? I'll have to get back to you on that one. So this past week, I got to meet with two friends who went on a trip to Israel, and I was listening to their wonderful journeys and the stories and what meant the most to them. And one said that when she stood where Jesus was born, like, emotions just took her over. And one was there with her son who has a kidney issues, and like, she had just been praying for her son, and her son was able to go with them, and he didn't have any health issues the whole trip. And in the back of my mind, you know, being human, I was like, oh, I wish I could be there. I wish I could go, right? So in my devotions I read, this is straight from God, I think, this person had visited the Holy Lands and writes, "Last year I visited the Holy Land. I went with the hope of having some kind of deep religious experience. There was nothing I did not do to make it happen. I marched clear around Jericho. I waded in the Jordan, swam in the Dead Sea, climbed the cliffs to peer into the cave of the Dead Sea Scrolls. I crept into Lazarus' tomb, attended the highest point in Petra, and read the Ten Commandments from the spot where Moses might have received them on Mount Sinai. Still, that great experience eluded me. And finally, when I had delayed our tour group with a painstaking hands and knees examination of the place where the cross of Calvary is thought to have been fixed, our leader took me to the side. I think that you are taking this a bit too seriously, he said. I do take it seriously, returned. I think it's the most serious thing in the world. Yes, he said. But the serious part is not where Jesus Christ was, or what he wore, or what he ate. These are only interesting details. The serious part is what he said and did. His words stung me. And that night I picked up my Bible, thinking I would read about the places I had been that day. And there, suddenly, unexpectedly, was my great experience. Instead of trying to picture Christ in some dusty place I had seen, he was there with me. He was speaking to me from the pages of my Holy Scripture. And that's what I learned by traveling halfway around the world. No matter where you are, Jesus is there beside you in the pages of the Bible. Amen. Amazing. And true. So I would like each of you to be thinking about, or maybe write it down on your bulletin, about a time where you were praising Jesus. What did you give thanks for? Okay? So what did you praise him for, and what did you give thanks for? I'm starting with Psalm 118, verse 1 and 2. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. The remainder of my sermon will be from Luke 19, starting at verse 28. Okay, today is Palm Sunday, and churches around the world are celebrating Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Prior to entering Jerusalem on a baby donkey, Jesus had called Zacchaeus down from the sycamore tree, and he spoke with Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He invited himself to Zacchaeus' house for supper. And the crowd who was around him said, "You're going to a sinner's house. How can you do that?" So many had hated Zacchaeus, but Jesus' mission had always been to seek and save those who are lost. He wanted to always cleanse and restore that relationship with God. He would talk and have dinner with sinners, addicts, robbers, prostitutes, adulterers, everyone. Jesus accepted all just as they are. Showing meekness and majesty, Jesus would enter the city of Jerusalem. Luke 19, starting at verse 28. After Jesus had said this, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. As he approached Bethphage and Bethany at the hill called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ever ridden. Untie it and bring it to me. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you untying it?' say, 'The Lord needs it.' Those who were sent ahead went and found it just as he had told them. As they were untying the colt, its owner asked them, 'Why are you untying the colt?' And they replied, 'The Lord needs it.'" The donkey is seen as a very humble and peaceful animal, unlike horses, which are noted to be associated with wars. The donkey is totally ruled by its owner. However, to climb on a baby donkey that has yet to be trained should have been very, very tricky. But this one obeyed the words of Jesus. This was a colt that had never been ridden. And now it is among a group of people who are yelling and waving palms and throwing their clothing before him. And yet he remained calm. The donkey is a symbol of peace. Jesus, knowing what awaited him, knowing what he would endure at the cross, moved forward into Jerusalem. Jesus had, at this point, resisted being called a king. That is not what he wanted his label to be. He wanted to be known as a suffering servant, providing love, providing help, providing support for others. But now he was orchestrating the fulfillment of prophecy, and Jesus would continue to triumph over the sins of pride, affluence, and malice in the community. Let's pick up at verse 35. They brought it, the donkey, to Jesus, threw their cloaks on the colt, and put Jesus on it. As he went along, people started to spread their cloaks on the road. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all of the miracles that they had seen. "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest." These are the people that saw him cure the sick, bring people back to life, provide food. Yes, Jesus would be their king. And do you know who was following Jesus? Who was in the crowd? A leper. Lazarus, who had been raised from the dead. Mary and Martha. Mary Magdalene. Tax collectors. Other prostitutes. And of course, all of the disciples who were continuing to argue who was the closest to Jesus. All were welcome to join Jesus in his entrance into Jerusalem. John 12:13 reads, "They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" They truly knew that they would be safe and they would be blessed with Jesus as their leader. The crowd in Jerusalem was shouting, "Hosanna, save us, please save us." They were shouting out for salvation, and Jesus was recognized as their Messiah. The Jesus followers were praising God with their hearts and minds. He would love all of them. He would go out amongst all of them. He would provide help for anyone who needed it. Satan, was unable to distract them. And then Jesus' enemies were so uncomfortable. They were so nervous. They felt scared. Verse 39. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they kept quiet, the stones will cry out." You see, all of creation at that moment in time had the opportunity to praise God. Just as it was prophesied in Psalm 96, verses 11 and 12, "Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound and all that is in it, let the fields be jubilant and everything in them, let all the trees of the forest sing for joy." Jesus had shared that this would happen, this rejoicing of all heavens and earth and sea. This was a reflection of God's dominion over all things, God's control of over all things. The noise got louder as the people recalled and gave thanks for all of the mighty works that Jesus was doing for them and for others. They had seen it. What a gift to be able to see a healing. One group of friends carried their friend to a rooftop to drop him in so that Jesus could heal him, right? That's true friendship. The healing, the sharing that was occurring. They were praising the Lord. It was purposeful and meaningful praise. And we are to give praise to the Lord. Don't let your praise be mindless. God is good. He wants us to praise him. So let us praise him and rejoice. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Words from the song, "Praise by Evelation." Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise in the valley, praise in the mountain, praise. Praise when I'm sure and praise when I'm doubting. As long as I'm breathing, I've got a reason to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now I want you to go back to that pondering word or pondering thoughts I asked you to either think or write down on your bulletin. I praise God for, and I'd like to hear from you, because we are to praise the Lord. We've got reasons to praise the Lord. So think about this. I praise God for. How would you finish that?
The miracle he performed in my wife a few years ago.
We almost lost Deb. And she's here with Hank. And on Sunday mornings we would pray, let's make sure we pray for Deb that she indeed is sitting here with Hank. Wow. I praise God for. Every little blessing.
For when he drags us out of our troubles, which we've had many, and they just continue to come. And I just praise him that I can still stand on the top and hold on to his faith. And I think he knows. He wants to never let him up and off the rock. Because I'm on fire.
May I share a little bit? Just a wee bit to let you know that Dan has lost a son a few years ago. Whenever anyone loses a child, it's a tough thing to go through. And he and his wife rely on Jesus to get through that. And Dan's always praising God.
Yeah,
it's a season of loss. Yeah.
Yes, so many things. Well, wasn't this May? Wow, I can't believe it's going to be 3 years. That he blew me up to Doylestown and saved me up there, too.
No.
You saved my life so many times in this world. I keep wondering, when's my baby?
We need you here, Dan. We need your joy. We need your love here. I praise God for
watching over my family.
For watching over our families, your family. They've recently spent time traveling, and they have a new baby on the way, so there's lots to be thankful for. I praise God for, absolutely, the gift of friendship, the gift of companionship.
Emma's church. Oh. My job, even though I can think of a thousand reasons to complain, but I should have more reasons to praise
I think you're the sunshine where you work. You have to stay there for a little bit because they need you. Right? To find a partner who is evenly yoked is truly a gift, who believes as you believe.
It brought me through a lot of struggles in my life.
Brian. And now you're in front of people doing children's moment. We're lucky to have you, Brian.
I praise God for my family. Church family as well as my biological family. So again, I have a brother that works in collision. So again, I can call in for that. I have a brother that does finances. So if I have a financial issue, I can call in for that. I have a brother who does IT. So when I have a computer issue, I can call in for that. And those are wonderful gifts.
Absolutely. Family that supports us. Absolutely, that's a gift.
I'll throw out another praise. I want to praise God for my oldest brother.
Mm-hmm.
It took me quite a few years of playing football, and we would, bat on five teams, for fun or less type of. But it took me years of saying, I'll give it to you after I get back from church, and I tell him what a great time I'm having in church. And eventually he started going to church and accepted the Lord.
Mm.
And now all of my brothers and sisters believe in Jesus.
Yeah, it's wonderful. I praise God for our time where we sit here and we share words that have been opened to our hearts and minds, maybe from Bible study or from just reading the verse of the day. And that's really special. But the quiet time that we are here in God's house, like when in this last week have you been in total silence? I don't think ever. There's the TV, there's the radio, there's family, there's friends, it's just, we live in a very noisy, chaotic world, and to sit on these holy grounds in this house, something to be praised. Okay. John makes it clear that there was a price on Jesus' head. In John 11:57, it reads, "But the chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who found out where Jesus was should report it, that he might be arrested." He would be confronting the powers of wicked. Jesus would be confronting the powers of selfishness. Despite all that, Jesus came into Jerusalem in the most public way possible. He was not going to be quiet. He was not going to keep it inside. Luke 19:41. He approached Jerusalem and saw the city, and that is when he began to weep. He said, "And if you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it is hidden from your eyes. The days will come upon you when your enemies will build an embankment against you and encircle you and hem you in every side, on every side. They will dash you to the ground, and you, the children within your walls, they will not leave one stone on another because you did not recognize the time of God was coming to you. He's saying, open your eyes. Notice God's blessings. I often call them God's sightings. Don't be quiet about those blessings. Don't be quiet or shy about praising God. Jesus was above the city and he was weeping because soon the people would realize that he would not be there to help them and guide them. The people did not understand that they need Jesus to be at total peace. Peace would be for them and for their children and for their children's children. He knows they will eventually follow the violence in their hearts. They do not see that the suffering and violence is so not necessary. In today's world, I think of two things come to mind. They're on the news all the time. When Black Lives Matter, which is founded on a good philosophy, but following the crowd, they broke into stores and they did damage to people's property. And January 6th, which I think was founded on the philosophy of free speech, it was ruined because they went into the political buildings. There's two instances right there before us where people followed wrong, got involved with the crowd, got involved with the violence that was not necessary. Boy, do we need to stand on the rock and recognize what is right and what is wrong. God's love guides us to make our world and to make our lives more peaceful. God longs for peace for all of us. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Are we truly embracing the love of Jesus? That's what the Bible encourages us to do. That's what our faith, the Mennonite faith, encourages us to do. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Jesus is always motivated by love. His motivation is love. And he is worthy of our praise. I'm repeating this from the beginning of my sermon from Psalm 118. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. In Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, God's love is faithful and merciful. His mercies never cease. God is great. His faithfulness and his mercies begin each morning. So take that deep breath. Give thanks to God. Read a devotional, pick up your Bible, think a positive thought. His mercies begin afresh each morning. Love always wins in the end. It's a very comforting thought, and it's true. Love always wins in the end. Knowing what awaited for Jesus, knowing that he needed to endure the cross, he went forward into Jerusalem. Let us say the Lord's Prayer together as our ending prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.